fuck the war. Fuck breast cancer and lung cancer, prostate cancer too. Fuck Nike ads and useless fads, the bullet and the brew. Though the brew is very tasty, fuck the way it makes us nasty. Fuck men who blacken women's eyes, domestic violence and all its lies, broken bones and children's cries. I don't want to be in the war. No, I don't want to be in the war. Fuck the war. Fuck those who tried to stop the flow of ganja, who will lock us up for us. You're out and meaner streets, meaner wars, meaner bombs, meaner people. I don't want to be in the war. No, I don't want to be in the war. Fuck the war. Fuck the war. Fuck the war. Fuck the war.
All right.
N T interesting.
Okay, sorry. So it wasn't so interesting. I was just trying to be nice. And I never try to be nice lately, so it just must be because I'm here.
You're being
I'm trying
a good
to make false
already.
Impressions.
What were they? What were they about, your plays?
What were they about? Let's see. I wrote one play was really about, I would say, my family. It was a family play and went back to my my Baba, which is, if you don't know, it's Russian Jewish. It's Yiddish for grandma. And she was really the matriarch of my family. And so I really was writing about her and her influence on our whole family and what that meant to all of us.
How did she influence your family?
That's a loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
I am good.
Yes, you are.
You're asking the tough questions right off the bat, huh?
I'm getting sweaty.
Exactly.
You're gonna
pour some water over me. How does she influence our family? She was really the focal point. Everything revolved around her. She'd escaped from Russia when she was pregnant around 1917 and come to the United States and then actually ended up living in Canada. And there were all these sort of apocryphal stories about her, things that she had done. For instance, my mother was the youngest child and my uncle was the oldest, and they were living in Northern Ontario, North Bay, and literally starving. I mean, it was, you know, freezing cold up there, and the conditions were horrible, and they had no money. And her husband, who was a really, I guess, superb scholar in the shtetl in Russia, was completely inept at making a living in America. He couldn't deal with
that. They always are.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just a complete failure. And when my mother was around two or three, he ended up getting killed, being run over by a train and the
That is I-M-I-N T interesting? No, INT. That is INT. I P INTIP. INTIP? No. That. My spelling sucks.
mine too.
He was inept. That is inept. Getting run over.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the other part of the story is that they think nobody really likes to talk about it, but they think he actually committed suicide because he was so depressed about not being able to support his family.
Yeah.
And so, at a certain point, my uncle, he graduated from high school and he was going to go to work because he was pretty bright, and he was working at I think a supermarket, and they were going to promote him to manager. And the story goes, my Baba refused to let him, even though they desperately needed the money. She insisted that he go to college. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact they had no money and no food, etc. So he went and then became a really, really successful attorney. But, you know, so that's sort of who she was, you know, in mm-hmm. one sort of condensed. That was just like one story in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, the sort of sacrifices she made mm-hmm. and her personal strength. And she sort of just, you know, was willing to do whatever it took. In terms of, I guess, sacrificing for her kids and the rest of us. And for me, it was amazing. And I guess what most of us felt, that is most of us being the grandkids, was we were, I mean, all of us were kind of a weird bunch of kids. but
how?
She always,
in what way?
One of my cousins... you know, two of my cousins were gay, and you know, for a woman from the shtetl, you know that wasn't exactly the norm, but it didn't matter. She just loved all of us, and in retrospect, that was pretty amazing. I mean, at the time, we just sort of took it for granted. That was just who she was. You know, it didn't matter who we were or how messed up we were or what we did. She pretty much just loved us regardless. But looking back on it now, it was pretty amazing, given her background and where she came from and everything else. So she was pretty amazing. Mm. And I still miss her a lot. So anyway, the one play was about her and her impact on us. And then that was probably the best one, I think. And then there were a few others that... we're not as memorable, I would say.
But they were your FI first R your first T try.
Yeah. Well, I had a few first tries. God, I wrote one. Let me think of them. Boy, I had a few real sort of idols in playwriting. I really love Sam Shepard and David Mamet. And then going back further, I really loved Chekhov. And so I initially, yeah, I would try and imitate them and write plays sort of like them, but of course I did a really pretty bad job. But that was how I started.
I C O U R cornered Sam Shepard. Right. Yeah, we had gone to see one of his plays, I think, and he happened to be out on the street at the end
of
the show. And so Frank uh-huh. is very good at cornering people. Uh-huh. And he cornered him. He introduced himself. He uh-huh. said he would like to direct one of his plays. I L O love T T O O tooth of crime.
Uh-huh.
That's one
yeah.
of his early
great
plays.
Play, yes.
Yes. That's the one you asked him. That's the one you said you wanted to direct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what could he say? He said, sure, you know. And he gave him a number of someone that we had to contact, which, you know, that was that was kind of the end of that. Because then it gets kind of paperwork and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I really liked his stuff. I liked Curse of the Starving Class. I think was one of my favorites. I really liked that. And I liked and all of David Mamet's stuff. I really, really admire.
S. So, why did not you see?
Continue
writing?
Why didn't I continue writing? Well, I was writing.
You did continue writing. You mean the newsletter? Yes. But why didn't you continue writing plays?
I always felt that my writing really had to do with exploring sort of who I was and why, what I was doing, why I was here. And that for some, well, that sort of ended up flowing into being interested in psychology. And so I ended up going and getting a master's and then a PhD in psychology, and then my writing went into writing dissertations and theses. So I did that. And around two-thirds of the way through my doctorate, I realized that this was like the last thing I wanted to do professionally. I was just doing it for me. I was really just doing it to learn about myself. And so once I'd finished, actually, before I had finished that, I really got into being in business. I really realized that I loved having my own business, that it was really fun. Not all the time.
Oh, God!
Did you hear him? He said, Maureen's not all the time.
But a lot of the time. It was pretty creative.
That's an understatement.
That having your own business was really kind of a creative thing to do. And sort of that, I mean, I guess that's sort of just where my creativity flowed. That's what I was kind of trying to follow, was my creativity. And it sort of was in theater, and then it sort of flowed into this psychology thing. And then from there, it went into creating a business.
Why?
That's sort of a...
What kind of business?
Well,
God, do we have to relive all
this? Yeah. this is where she comes in. That's right. This is all her doing.
I think I could leave now.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Tell us about yourself. Tell us about yourself.
All right.
Are we getting off?
Way to go, Frank.
Frank, you're awful.
Flattering.
Way to go, Frank.
I think we're getting off the subject. Weren't
no,
we supposed
this
to talk
is
about
this is the subject.
Are we supposed to talk about your business?
You know, Frank is the host, and he decides.
What Frank about
asked,
myself?
Frank you, asked you a question.
What about so. Myself? Do you want to know? There's so much to tell.
S. Start.
Anywhere.
Start anywhere.
What about myself? Okay, well, shut up. I hate talking about myself, Frank. But,
Why?
For
I
I have a master's in psychology, too.
All right.
Great. Here he goes.
Go to work.
I suddenly feel really trapped and uncomfortable.
She's got a PhD on one side and a master's on the other. I mean, we got her.
Oh, God. I'm surrounded. I'm trapped. I hate it. You just don't start calling me Philistine, okay? We'll be okay.
Okay.
What do you want to know? I was born in 1961. I'm 40 years old. I have two kids. I was a hairdresser before I started Planet Organics.
Did you hear all that? Yes. I feel old.
Oh.
Frank's 55.
Oh, really? Well, I feel old. So is that supposed to make me feel better? I don't know. I'm not very interesting, Frank. I just, you know, I'm a businesswoman. I'm a mom. I love music. I recently started playing the drums. And
loves to dance.
I love to dance. That's what if I could do anything professionally besides what I'm doing, which is I'm good at what I do as far as being a buyer of organic produce, and I'm really good at creative cutting hair. I'm a great hairdresser. But if I could do anything else, I would dance. And I do that all the time. I just don't.
I am looking for dancers.
No, you are not.
Yeah, he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Lorene just danced professionally for the first time around 3 or 4 months ago.
It was really...
in a show, in a rock and roll review.
It was horribly fun and
really
embarrassing.
It was really exciting.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a big deal.
I was so nervous about it, and I met the... It's a funny story because it was my 40th birthday, and I threw this rock and roll party, and I rented this hall, and I had a DJ, and I rented the hall from the mayor of Sonoma, and he ended up, we got along really well, and I invited him to my party, and he came, and a few days after my birthday, I got a call from this guy who was directing a rock and roll show at the Sebastiani Theater. And he said he got a recommendation from the mayor of Sonoma, saw me dancing at my birthday party, and said, would you dance in this rock and roll show? And so I said, well, sure, I'll dance in a rock and roll show. I've always, like, wanted to dance like that, and I love to dance. Mm-hmm. I dance, yeah, we dance at home a lot. Every day we start our life like that. We turn on the radio, and we dance, and I play the drums, mm-hmm. and the kids dance. And So it was really funny. I was terribly nervous, and I thought I could never do it. Like, I'm very bashful and shy, which friends that know me intimately laugh at because I'm not shy with them. But so it was fun. I had a blast. I had a little champagne in the dressing room to start me off, loosen me up a little bit, and it was fun. I had a blast, and it was just. Energizing, and there was so much great energy. I had a little bit of a boob faux pas. I had my breasts fall out when I was doing one of my routines. and so, like, everybody in Sonoma saw my breasts.
That is REX exactly what I am looking for.
Well, here you go.
Well, I don't know if my...
And she thought nobody saw it. Of course, then she'd ask people, and they'd go, yeah, that was great. Everybody in the theater saw it.
We got it on tape, even. Yeah, a friend of mine got it on tape, and we sat down to watch, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And I didn't know that... He didn't even know that he got it, but then suddenly the breast comes flying out, and I'm looking at it, I was like, oh, my God. So he's fast-forwarding it, and he's slow-motioning it. He's turning back and forth. I'm like, oh, my God. So people would come up in Sonoma, it's a small little community, and they go, oh, I saw you in the rock and roll show at the Sebastiani Theater. And I was just thinking in my head, oh, God, what part of me did you see exactly what you're doing? So, I don't know that if I could professionally, you know, dance and show my breasts. That was an accident.
Have to be a spontaneous kind of thing.
What? Yeah, so. What kind of dancing D R U M drumming do you do?
Well, I'm a beginner. So I can do basic beats.
There is no S such thing as a beginner.
There's not? Really?
There's no such thing as a beginner? Is that what you said? Yeah. Yes. Well, Frank plays the piano.
Oh.
And he played it when he was a kid, and then he went like 20, 30 years and didn't play it until we started doing the Sunday night show.
Oh.
He has all these like top-notch musicians, and he would say to them, can I jam with you? And they say yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And so he just
great.
Started playing the piano, and he got encouraged because they all really liked it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had no training at all. He just, you know, we bandage up his arms from like his elbow down because he plays with everything. And people love it.
Oh, that's so great.
So, yeah.
I don't think anybody would enjoy my drumming or want me to join them. I can guarantee that pretty much.
You're getting pretty good.
I do.
Well, there you go.
Well, my drum instructor is always joking with me about, you know, like being in a band. You know, so he's like, well, you can have a great drummer, but if you're blonde and you're a woman and you're a rocker, you know, you'll be picked. You know, so I'm like, well, really? So I can get off on that. I can actually like use that for you know, that's pretty mean. I never thought that I could use my feminine woes for drumming. So,
and. P, E, people always need drummers. Yeah, because it's from what bands tell us, drummers are always the ones
drummers
that
are
leave. They're flaky.
I know.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
So they're always looking for drummers.
Everybody's looking for drummers.
And
yeah,
I'm not a flake whatsoever. However, I am not very good. So,
how not?
Well, I know you said there's no such thing as a beginner, but I am a beginner. So, you know, I can do like basic beats, and I kind of can do the breaks once in a while and crash. But I'm too self-conscious, basically.
When?
You know,
what?
That's what it is.
What E? What else is there besides that stuff?
Yeah, that's pretty much. You got a point there.
Yeah, that is a good point. Maybe
I can do the beats and I can kind of do the rolls.
Yeah, maybe I just need to practice that a little bit more. Well, the reason I like drumming too, that I feel really connected to it, is because it's very much like dancing. Mm. Like, if you just kind of feel it, you can do it. Mm. You know? You can just kind of do it. And every, like I try to play the guitar. I've tried to play the piano. And it's very just mind, you know? I think you have to think too much. Mm. Not that I'm not a thinker.
Not the way I play it.
Oh, I'd like to hear that sometime then.
What did Kevin say about the way Frank played the piano was like some people play drums or something?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said? Yeah, he's a musician that was jammed with Frank, and he liked that.
It's a percussion, as a percussionist.
Yes, absolutely. B, E, because P-I-A piano is a C actually a percussion instrument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I I am having a H, a J, a jam on at Burnt Ramen. It's a club in Richmond. Mm. It's like a real, it's like a, usually it's a punk club, but the guy that runs it is someone that we know well. Mm-hmm. So he lets Frank have it when he wants it to put on shows. So Frank is producing the whole night, and it's a benefit for Lover. It's a benefit for Lover. Pardon me?
Awesome. Old produce warehouse.
It's an old produce warehouse.
Oh, no kidding!
Yeah, a guy's grandmother helped him buy it, uh-huh. and he had it as a recording studio, and then our friend John moved out here. Who is a baker, John mm-hmm. the Baker, yeah, mm-hmm. and was looking for a free place to live. So in exchange for living there, he started up this club that's getting pretty successful.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
But anyway, he gives Frank nights when he wants them. So he's producing this whole night, and part of the night is the Frank's band. He calls it the Chirotic All-Stars, and it's always different. Because it's like people just, he invites people and they play for the first time together that night, uh-huh. And they just jam.
Gosh. Cool. Wow.
And it's really fun. It's really fun. Yeah.
That's great.
Do you have?
So when is this happening?
Yeah, when?
November 17th. It's a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a lot of musicians that are so far?
Well, we're just starting to gather that one, but we will by the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the band, the jam he's doing on November 30 as a 15-piece band.
Wow!
Wow!
So,
cool.
Yeah. It's like musicians. Everybody wants to play in Frank's band. It's all the, like really like top-notch musicians, mm-hmm. but they say that playing with Frank is their most favorite performance experience because they can just let loose.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
can have fun, and that's mm-hmm. the whole idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Sounds great. But that is a K-L-L-I a little M two W I L wild. That is a little too wild. You may need, you may have, you may need to ease into it. That's going to be a wild night. Yeah, mm-hmm. you might need to ease into it.
Mm-hmm.
At Chemo's. I think that's going to be less wild. Maybe, yeah. That's a punk club on Polk Street in San Francisco, Chemo's.
Right.
And
I haven't been. I know where it is, yeah.
So that November 3rd, Frank's jamming that night. And so you're saying that that is too wild. Oh, that's why you were suggesting the 17th. Okay, I get you. Right, yeah, right. That's why he didn't suggest the November 3rd gig, because that's going to be very wild.
Uh-huh.
But the 17th, it's the last. We did one. We did one before, a night that Frank produced, and it was incredible. It just, it was like. It was like everybody was in the living room together.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was mm-hmm. a very cozy, neat thing. This, some of the bands are a little more intense this time, but like we have Extreme Elvis. I don't know if you've heard about him.
I've heard that.
He's kind of the big media thing right now. He's this big guy, and he does Elvis like a la Vegas. The Vegas Elvis. And he looks just like him. He
really?
Comes out with the outfit and the glasses and the hair, and he has this incredible band that plays, and he sings really well and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes his clothes off right away.
That's the extreme part.
That's the extreme part.
I love it.
I
Elvis Snake.
Do I do too. Frank takes his clothes off right away too.
Okay, yeah. Is that what you're looking for dancers for? Oh, Frank, naughty boy.
Uh-huh. So it's playing in the nude.
Yeah, well. All right. I like that.
He said, so it's playing in the nude. The musicians aren't always nude. That's optional. Most of the musicians
aren't. Clothing
nude.
Optional?
Clothing okay. optional. Okay. A lot, like Frank will have dancers, and a lot of times the dancers have very little on. Or, uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our musicians wear clothes. Mm-hmm. In New York City. We were in New York City in August and did a couple performances, and one of them was a jam, and it was the same thing that Frank always does. He puts the word out to people. Uh-huh. But at this place, all these people started coming in and saying, we heard about you. We heard you were going to be in New York, and people showed us your website. So they had read all of, like, Frank's writings, mm-hmm. and they said, please, can we be in the jam? And Frank was saying, I love the Internet. I love the Internet. So all these, like, sexy women, you know, are coming in and saying, please let me be in your jam. Uh-huh. Joey says, sure. Uh-huh. And so and then one of the women says, I'm wondering, you know, how comfortable you are with nudity or partial nudity. And Frank was planning on not being totally nude. He was planning, he had this, like, little skirt he wears. And he said, well, you know, nudity is fine if you want. She says, oh, thank God. That, like, kind of set the tone for that night. Yeah. Everybody just started taking their clothes off. And that night, it was mainly dancers that showed up and uh-huh. very few musicians. Uh-huh. So it ended up, it was a very neat thing. The audience were playing these little toy uh-huh. Instruments. And so it was really neat.
That's great. Fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, it kind of sounds not quite like...
Like what we do anyway?
Right. but what happens, you know, when we have parties sometimes, and at the end of the party,
everybody, you know, has their clothes off.
The serious people are still hanging around, and right. everybody's playing music, and just hanging out, and it sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, my drum sits right in the middle of our living room now. It's like this big display. So that's where people gather now. It used to be the kitchen, but now that the drum set's there, it's so funny. Everybody wants to play it, you know, so everybody just goes.
Everybody has a closet drummer.
I know,
and we've discovered,
does.
You know, it's really funny. Anyone who comes in.
Do your kids play it?
Oh, yeah, they do. They're quite...
They rock.
Yeah, they do. They rock. They're quite good.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, actually.
They're, like, naturals, you know. They don't have inhibitions. Like, I'm self-conscious about how I'm doing, and they're just like... Yeah, they're very, very good.
I am L. Lucky. Yeah, Frank always says he's lucky because nobody ever tried to make him do things the right way. Because they didn't think he could. Mm-hmm. So it just gave him all this freedom to just try things
without
those kinds of limits of being good.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that must be special in a way. Because I know even when I'm having my drum lesson, I have it every Tuesday. I'm so inhibited. It's horrible. Like, I'll learn my lesson. He'll teach my beat and my thing, my little... you know, hand lessons, and then I'm self-conscious, and I can't really feel it, and then I go home, and I'm by myself, and I just, you know, and then I just, and I feel it, and it's great, because I don't have anybody watching me and telling me that, no, don't use that hand, and it should be more like this, you know, you should, so it's, yeah, that must give you a certain amount of freedom.
J. A. Jam. Would be the best. Would be the best
mm-hmm.
thing for you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, it would be. But I'm, you know, I still have that whole self-conscious thing going on, so I don't know. Maybe it would, I could get over it. I have friends that are musicians.
If I can play piano,
it sets the tone.
Well, that's what I'm working for. You know, I'm not. I'm doing it because I. It's a great outlet of frustration for one, for me. So I thought if I never play in a band, it'll be okay because I can just do it for myself and it'll be. It's great. You know, it's just great to beat on the drums. But my goal is, I love to be able to. I grew up and I have a close-knit group of friends that are all musicians, and so they're always playing the guitars and their mandolins and their harmonicas, and I'm always singing or, you know, just in the crowd, but I'm never a part of the jam. So I'd love to be a part of the jam. Like, I'd love to be. So maybe I will be. I'm not counting it out. I'm not counting it out. But I have that whole, like, I'm not very good thing going on.
Yeah. You'd see once you got there that it's not like that.
Yeah.
You know, with all the other musicians.
Yeah.
Everybody's there for a good time when they jam with Frank. Yeah.
Well, I'll just work a little harder then, Frank.
D-I-S-T-R-O destroy the P. I-A-O, piano. Well, right, when that was Frank's, like, debut of playing the piano in public other than here on the Shaman's Den. So they had a piano there, and it was, like, a big deal, and he had, you know, his band and everything. And what we did was we thought, well, you know, usually when he plays, we have ace bandages that we wrap around his arm. We thought, well, you know, for the big debut, we found this leather maker guy make some leather things that'd be really cool, you know. Well, so we picked this, like, really thick leather, you know. We should have gotten thin leather, but the black fleet keys were just flying. But luckily, it's a punk club, you know. So at the end of it, I said, "John, oh, that's cool. That's cool. We can blow them back."
Oh man,
that's great. Okay, I don't think you have anything to worry about. Hit those drums as hard as you want.
I haven't even broken a drumstick yet. I'm sort of disappointed in myself.
That is a G, O, a good G, O, a good goal to have.
To break a drumstick.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to break a few, yeah, I do.
Definitely.
At the J, A, at the jam. That would be your goal at the jam.
I'll work on that.
A drumstick at the jam.
I'll ask my drum instructor. How do I break a drumstick? How hard do I have to hit it?
B. R. Bring some extra.
Yeah, I want to order one of those little pouches, those little cool pouches that you can just stuff a whole bunch of drumsticks in. So when you get rid of one, you can just grab another.
How did you get together?
I think you should talk now for a while. Don't make any jokes. It's very serious.
No jokes. Okay.
Or
I have a standard set of jokes.
Yes, I know. We do.
We met, we were both working at a halfway house for mentally disturbed young adults in Daly City. And that's where we met. And she seduced me.
He usually jokes that I was one of the, you know, clients. It could be true. It still could be true.
Yeah. So that was...
He was actually in a relationship in Switzerland at the time. So when we met, he was rather seriously involved with someone. Yeah. And, yeah, I guess I did seduce you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was a lot of work.
It was
hard.
I don't remember it being that difficult, but okay. Yeah.
This is when I S I sit back and just let them go.
I'm not going to let you do that. We've done that before.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, most people they start to argue about how they met.
Right, exactly.
They say, no, this isn't what happened. That happened, and no, you did this, and I didn't do that. But I think we agree.
We'll get into that when we start talking about getting married and having kids. But we won't go there. That's a whole other argument.
O R G A organic F food is getting M O more B boring with every minute.
And the other options are laid out in front of us. We might never get to talk about
that. I agree.
Yeah, we feel the same way.
Yeah, I was like, do we really have to go in there and talk about work? God, I don't want to talk about work. Don't
That's right. We
me.
Do that all the time.
Oh, it's all we ever do, you know?
S. So... could have you be, we could have you back to talk about organic food.
Well, I don't know, Frank, if you think our sex life is going to be very interesting, you have another thing. You now have another thing coming.
Try.
Yeah, organic food might be more interesting.
He said, try me. Try me. He'll let you know.
Oh, no. Now we're in trouble.
No, we can't do that. How many people watch the show? And are our customers watching?
Now, do we know any of them?
I know.
Two. L. Too late.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble.
Actually, we might get more customers if we talk about it. Or I might get a date.
No, there you go.
Would they see A? Would they cancel their subscription, do you think, if they heard about your sex life?
Well, I hope they buy more produce, actually.
Because they feel so sorry for us. Would they cancel their subscription? They probably would.
I don't know. Having customers is a pretty weird thing in itself, altogether. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's interesting. Based, you know, the stuff I write in the newsletter. I mean,
you never know who your customers are.
We have people that, no question, span the entire spectrum in terms of lifestyle and politics and everything. So pretty much whatever I write pisses off somebody. And
that is A G good sign.
I think it is too. Yeah, that, I try to keep that perspective. You're right. I think it is a good sign, but sometimes my feelings get hurt a little bit. You know, when people write nasty things back to me,
I just get pissed off.
Did I hurt your feelings?
Oh, what did Frank say something?
Oh, Frank.
Frank,
along with a few other people, there were four other people who took my sort of heavy-handed irony to be a serious expression of my opinion about industrial organic farming.
Oh my God, Frank, you were one of those people?
Frank wrote me saying, you asshole. We're going to quit. If you support these industrial organic farms, this is not what we're supporting. So we want to know what the deal is.
We had this whole huge, huge conversation and debate about about that whole... It was very interesting, the whole there's a whole politics that goes on that the consumers really aren't aware of in the buying industry of organic produce. And
what? Like what?
Oh, God. I mean, it ranges from... so you guys want really good prices for your produce, right? Most of our people want really good prices... better
that,
than the store, and they want it delivered to their door. That's the majority.
That is not true. That is not our reason.
That's not your reason.
For getting it from
you. Yeah, well, you know, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. However, it is, I believe it is a majority of people really want... good. They want good prices. They want better than, you know, to deliver to their home, better than the store. I mean, I wish that most of the people were like you, because I find my politics being compromised all the time in business, that it's difficult for me, because I have bought from these industrial bigger farms that, and now they have good produce. They put out a good product. They're big, but I don't know. Is big bad all the time? You know, it's not like they're. I don't know if they're necessarily wiping out these smaller farms. They have bought smaller farms, and the farms have decided to sell their businesses to them. But I'm trying to fill your box, and give really good variety. And I can't tell you how many people quit if that box isn't full. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I can buy from all the smaller little farms that are marked up at a higher price. But that box is going to be empty, and my customers are going to quit. So what do I do as a business person? Do I just buy from the small organic farmers? Because that's what... And I do buy from a lot of small organic farmers. But to get a balance, I can't just do that. Because I have to make money to stay in business. Have to keep, you know, people happy, and that's the big dilemma for me, and the frustration that I find being a business woman is I would love to just do what I think is right and what I want to do, but I find myself compromising a little bit because the majority of the people are saying that this is what they want.
In the L I O, in the long run, C O M P C O, compromise will B I T E bite your bite every one B in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
be, e, because, one, the, be, I, the big, F, the big farms, can, not, K, E, keep, it, keep it up. Mm-hmm. Because they're not, because of the way that they're doing it, it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So in the long, mm-hmm. over time, it's not going to work. And B, E, and because they, when, they, D, R, I, drive the little farms away. No, when they drive the prices down, the S, the small farms mm-hmm. away. They can, they can R, A, raise their prices.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And W, A, T, E, water down the D, D, E, F, definition of organic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's no question. No question about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
complicated.
It's a difficult thing. Unfortunately, most people, customers, consumers, people who mm-hmm. are customers, aren't like you. The fact is that in our experience in talking to people, we talk to our customers every mm-hmm. single day, is there is this overwhelming sort of American consumer mentality of, mm-hmm. I want mm-hmm. the best for the least amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who support the whole idea of organics and organic farming, but within that context,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it's sort of an oxymoron.
And they
want us to do both, and it's almost impossible.
And the B, R, B, E, S, the best, is D, D, E, F, definitely, D, E, F, I, N, E, define, A, as, and the best is defined as what they get in S U P E supermarkets.
Right, like at Whole Foods. And I know we exchanged a couple of emails about the Whole Foods.
How it looks at Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm.
I mean, that's what they're looking at. They're comparing it to Whole Foods and presentation and price, and Whole Foods prices are pretty cheap. But we also, I think you had some experience with that, but we know, you know, what they do to farmers to get those prices. I mean, you know, they pay them next to nothing, but because of the volume of what they're buying, they can do that.
So farmers are always farmers are constantly compromising too. You know, even the smaller farmers have these same dilemmas about selling to the big guys, or you know, it's I have relationships with a lot of the smaller farmers, and we get into these political conversations about how they feel about compromising what they would really rather do versus what is kind of the trend. And I mean, it would be a great, perfect world, wouldn't it, if everybody just kind of did what and could do and could live on what they believed, really, and not had to ever compromise. But I'm finding in business, and this is why I don't want to, for all my customers out there listening, I have a hard time doing this business because of compromising my values.
We.
I'd rather do hair, play the drums, or get naked. And get
We're
paid
your
for
one
it.
Stop
you know?
So like much. You don't get paid though. That's
it's so much politically
is.
Uncompromising to do all those things.
Oh, you know, yeah. It's just it's hard being in business. It for me as a woman too. I think that Larry and I balance each other this way too because he's able to be a little bit more. We have these. We're gonna get in a fight. We have these struggles where he's just like, yeah, just go get him. Just, you know, like be the man, be the aggressive. You gotta learn this is business. And I, there's just only a certain, there's only so far I will go. I will compromise. And I'll compromise if I feel like it's really fair and it's just and I'm not hurting anybody. But I will not do things that I see being done all the time in the produce industry. Just appalling stuff happening.
Like what?
Oh, God, Frank. Who's watching, Frank? it's a brutal world out there. I am in a serious... I like to call it a man's world because...
Because it's not just a man's
because
world.
Because it's not just a man's world, but it's like serious negotiating or... I've been outright bullied into not buying from a small farm because a big guy is there. I have you, they're my customer, don't touch her. I have gone to small farms. I mean, it's brutal. I have... How many times have I... had major mental breakdown crying in our office because some big asshole is telling me that there's no room for you to go direct to the farmer because I'm here and that's what I'm for. I'm the wholesaler. You know, and they do. I have been bullied and badgered and it's really hard sometimes
How?
To totally stand my ground. And I do. And I've with certain wholesalers, I have said, I have taken my business away for months, you know, just so they can not have my money anymore because it's like, you know what? This is, I mean, if they're really supporting the organic industry and sustainable agriculture, then there's room for me to go direct to the farmer. There's room, there's, you know, if we all want, you know, farmers, the conventional farmer to go to organic and to change the pattern, then there's room for me. You know, move aside, and it's not, you know, it's like everybody's out for their big bucks. They want that business, and they protect it with all their might and their force. And I have never been in such an aggressive
Who?
Business before.
Who? Who is the everybody?
You want me to give names, Frank?
Yes.
No, you know, I mean, I totally don't feel comfortable saying people that I'm...
That is how they get away with it?
Well, it...
Read, see, glasses, hair? Did I get it?
No, I don't believe that's true, Frank. I don't believe that's how they get away with it. Because let me tell you, I don't let them get away with it. I am really hard on them. I have taken my business away. I have fought with them. I do not cower. I fight my ground. I tell them that I will take my business away. I mean, I stand my ground. I do. I don't feel like it gets me anywhere to start, because these are people also that I need, you know. So,
but
I don't feel Frank's going to quit after this program. See?
But people,
Frank's getting mad.
But people need to know there is a M-A mafia. People need to know there is a mafia. B-E-T Bet. They need to know there is a mafia. B-E-W Between them and the small farms.